Good afternoon. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-22-47. It is about 1:30 on April 19th. And I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. I'm joined with Commissioners Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Hoffert. I do not have any opening comments other than to say I think this is pretty straightforward, so I expect that it'll be a somewhat short session. But perhaps my colleagues have items of particular interest on this that might be disclosed here. So otherwise, Commissioner Christman, any opening comments?
I do not, but I just will say this, and maybe as we get into it more and I understand it better, maybe there'll be a reason for it. It seems like it's really a clumsy formula to get to an end. Maybe that's the only way to get to the fair resolution that they're, I assume, seeking, but it really seems like it's complicated.
Okay.
I have no comments.
All right, then, this is an information hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first. We have Mr. Grinberg here with us on behalf of Xcel Energy. Maybe before we turn it over to you, we'll announce everybody else. We'll end with you, Tony, and then you can take it from there. So the staff can introduce themselves.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Robert Frank, PSC staff.
Welcome, Robert. This is Robert's first informal, first official meeting that's been recorded. He joined our team yesterday. We're thrilled to have him. Mm-hmm. And look forward to hopefully a long relationship with him as a part of our team. So thank you. Okay, Tony.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you. Tony Grinberg, Principal Manager with Xcel Energy. Victor, first, thank you for your patience working with Mr. Cedarquist on tying a meeting date that I was going to be in Bismarck, so two birds with one stone kind of approach. So, pleasure to be here. Dave Cedarquist is on the line joining in as well, and Catherine Kester, who is our Community Relations Manager in Grand Forks. When Dave and I visited about the topic, made sense just to maybe provide the background of how this came to be, share, I think, the motivation behind it, at least from the City of Grand Forks perspective. So I began with Xcel in December of 2020, and then in January of 2021, it was brought into a discussion that the City of Grand Forks had been entertaining with my predecessor, Mark Nesbitt, who you know, on amending the current franchise agreement with the City of Grand Forks, as well as Nodak Electric. Their goal was to work with both providers, and then wrapped around that, as I understand, Minn Kota Power also was advancing legislation during the 2021 legislative session that really was aimed to, from an economic development tool, provide the tools to attract large data volume data centers to Grand Forks. So that was the backdrop of the legislation exempting sales tax that did pass and was signed by the governor, and then the prorated, I guess, over 5-year discounted franchise fee would be another tool in the toolbox to attract these data centers, high power users, to the region. And so they, when I say they, the Grand Forks City Council then amended their current franchise agreements with us and Nodak Electric in February of that year. And then the legislature concluded in April. And then I believe in May, they did announce a large data project that is building in Grand Forks. So at a high level, what we observed in the Nodak territory, the strategy worked. They were able to attract one of these large data centers and a customer of Nodak Electric, i.e. Minn Kota. So that's the backdrop, how this started with the City of Grand Forks, as I was immersed into it with, you know, our support for what City of Grand Forks chose to do. And then started that spring as well with working with the City of Fargo, modernizing, I guess would be a good word, of the existing franchise agreement that had probably been 50 or 60 years since it had been updated. And so we spent XL leadership and legal side and myself spent probably 7-8 months working with the city of Fargo on amending and updating that franchise agreement. Through those conversations they had with the city of Grand Forks, they learned of the amendment that Grand Forks had done. And so they decided as a good prudent investment or good prudent decision be to tailor that language with the Fargo agreement. And that was somewhat in time when Amazon announced a large facility that was not large data center driven, but certainly a large project that caught the attention that the city of Fargo should do this as well. So that really is why the Fargo put it into their agreement that was ultimately nodded off by both attorneys on our side as well as the city of Fargo. And then in October of last year, I think the city of Fargo then approved that franchise agreement, again, that hadn't been updated for decades. So that really was, the steps in the process between the city of Grand Forks and the Fargo that took place. And it's all centered on, I think, from an economic development standpoint is why they started it in Grand Forks.
Is the starting point for both of them 2%? Is that what they've always had? Or you said Fargo's old one was decades old. Did Grand Forks have an old one too?
No, Grand Forks was, I think, last updated in 2012, I believe. So it was a relatively current franchise agreement, if you will. 2% had remained, I think, when that change took place in Grand Forks. And the 2% in the city of Fargo's case had been that way for a long time.
So they've been at 2%. And yep. Do the other communities, do a lot of or all of the cities have a franchise fee? Is 2% kind of just what everybody does, or?
I think it varies city by city. If you look at Minnesota in our territories as well, in North Dakota, I think 2% is kind of a common. We could get you the list of all our franchise agreements and show the detail of what the exact percents are, but it does vary. Generally around that 2%, though, is what I would say where they end up at.
That's the presentation?
That's it.
Okay. Well, then I have some more questions. So, do these two get to the same place? Like, would a developer, just based on their electric bill, if everything else were equal, now, if these are approved, would they be better off in Fargo or Grand Forks?
Great question. I think, they'd be equal from a standpoint of each city assesses 2%. If that, graduate or that pro rata, reduction took place, I don't know if there'd be, if you're just going to make a decision solely on that, I don't know if there'd be a distinct advantage. But it would be the same percent, I think, is how it would be, calculated. I would just add as well, we have no current businesses or entities that are operating at that level on the XL side. In the Grand Forks situation, we caught after the fact that, whose responsibility is it to notify us or NODAC in the case of Grand Forks that you have an eligible customer? And so we worked with the city of Grand Forks to say at least somebody in the city should notify us so that we can start figuring out how we're going to monitor this and then make that reduction in our franchise collection. And so that was agreed to in a letter format that the city amend into their process. So at least we get notified in the event someday there is a customer that would benefit from this. And in Fargo's case, that was built in, so they notify us.
Commissioner, this is Dave Cedarquist, if I may interject. By all appearances, the wording of each of the Grand Forks and Fargo's franchise fee amendments appear to be the same, so it would seem to act very similarly in both cities, if that gets to your question.
Okay. So I'll tell you where first this started seeming so clunky is when we start out this formula using kilowatts. And get these massive numbers, and then at the end divide by 1,000 to get to megawatts. Why didn't we start with megawatts in the first place and have smaller, easier numbers to use? And so UND and the city are excluded.
That's my, yeah, that's my understanding.
And I didn't look at the Fargo one.
NDSU, I think, would be as well.
NDSU and the city are also excluded. And so in these examples, how much of a discount does it get down to being from 2%? And do you have a copy of those file?
I do not.
Do we have an extra copy? I might want to reference mine for asking questions, but I'm trying to figure out, so if you're a user this large, does this just get you something a little less than 2%? Or are you going to end up being down at a quarter of 1% or a tenth of 1%? Or and I don't really have a feel for how big of a discount this ends up being.
And Tony, I can probably take a shot at that. If
thanks, Dave.
Yeah, Commissioner, by looking at the formula, first of all, I would agree that there seems like there would have been an easier way to do this, but the discount only applies to the loads that exceed that 20 megawatt calculation. So what ends up, I believe, happening or will happen in most cases, that yes, it would be end up being a franchise fee that's somewhat less than 2%, because it's only applying, the discount's only applying to the overage.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe that was my block on this whole thing. I thought it was to the whole bill.
No.
Okay, that helps a lot.
And in fact, if the loads don't achieve that ceiling, that 20 megawatt, then of course they don't get any discount at all.
And on page 2, where in the second paragraph where it talks about a customer, a period when the customer is not being supplied and sold electricity, including off-peak time periods, shall be excluded. That's just to get the math right, if there are outages or something, that those hours don't count for that month.
Going up here to page 2. Are you referring to attachment A, page 2 of 10?
No, I'm looking at
attachment A.
2 of
attachment A, attachment A, yes, page 2 of 10.
And your question about paragraph 2, one more time, please.
Well, it says, accordingly, periods of time during a billing cycle in which the customer is not being supplied or sold electricity by the company, including off-peak time periods, shall be excluded. And I'm assuming that just means if there's a 10-hour outage during the month, you subtract 10 hours from the total hours during that month. So
right.
Math comes out correctly, or is there something more meaningful to that?
Well, I believe all that is referring to is this formula takes their kilowatt hour usage and it tries to convert it to a kilowatt demand. And it does that by dividing the kilowatt hours by the number of hours in that billing period. And I think what this is saying is, you know, if they're not being supplied electricity, we're not going to count those hours in that calculation of their demand. I believe that that's what that phrase is doing there.
Actual hours.
Okay.
So it's coming up with an average demand, not an actual demand.
Yes, it is coming up with a very unrealistic assumption that the demand is the same the entire billing period. So that is the sort of strange part about the whole formula.
Yeah.
So what happens if we don't approve one of these? And you have a franchise agreement with the city that we didn't approve, but the city and the company agreed to it.
That was my question, kind of similarly. Like, what grounds do we have for not approving something like this?
I guess I'm not real sure on what grounds we'd have for not approving it, I guess, unless it's not in, you know, if it was something that was going to be outrageous to ratepayers, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. I know the franchise and our approval of them is based in law, so they are subject to the approval of the commission maybe not for the franchise, but for rates and such, definitely fall underneath our jurisdiction.
Well, I think, and I didn't mean to, I don't want to like set off alarm bells. Like, I don't have a big issue with this. I just want to understand it and think about precedents that we're setting. But you were going to say something else.
So I think the franchise fee itself is set out in a separate section of law. So a city or municipality is entitled to charge a company a franchise fee. The part where we would come in is in the tariff and the rates, specific rates for that franchise fee being recovered. And it is absolutely, I mean, to me, it's a very gray area of what would happen if we would deny.
So what would happen, because, I mean, over a few decades here, I mean, I've seen, not with the utility companies, but I've seen some economic development proposals where people get carried away pursuing something and it falls flat and ends up costing a bunch of people a lot of money. So if cities start competing on this to where finally they're subsidizing the big users that they're trying to draw in onto the backs of the residential, to where these, you know, if we get to a point where all the big users aren't paying anything and they're making up the revenue that they want from the electric company by increasing the franchise fee on residential or small users, it seems like at some point there has to be some, that's probably what we're here for, but I don't know what we would do about that either. If we can't disapprove of them, then I don't know what would happen if someone is really getting carried away.
When I put on my consumer advocate hat and think about that, I think the point that I would probably try to intervene in something like that is the point where that franchise fee becomes negative. I think there's a fair argument to be made that you're no longer charging a franchise fee, but rather adjusting rates.
At the cost of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, not even necessarily at the cost of everyone. It's not a city's place to control utility rates. That's what this commission exists to do. One of the things this commission exists to do.
I don't know either where the line is, but I guess I think the line is something higher than zero. You know, I mean, these are pretty big numbers. Even after you divide by 1,000. If we get some of this occurring, and I don't see that it's an issue with this. I don't think this is that dramatic. So I guess unless something else comes up before we're done here, I'm okay with this. But if we were looking at something that discounted the franchise fee down to where it's just not a very significant number anymore, but it's such a big user that the company's going to have to make a bunch of investments, and especially if it's something that doesn't have a lot of building costs to tie that new user down there, that in a couple years they might be searching for someone else who gives them the best deal to move their servers over to the next county. then maybe that's not such a good deal if it causes a whole bunch of new investment for the utility company that could potentially get stranded there for everybody else to pay for.
Sure.
Well, go ahead. To me, the franchise fee is just as cities can decide to have one or not. Like, they could get rid of it, too, and then it's money that they lose. But we still will be collecting rates from the user who's there, and we set those rates, and we set those rates to avoid what you just described. Right. And so that is our job, and nothing that the city can do with their franchise fee should impact that, So to me, the city's got pretty wide latitude to have or not have a franchise fee and to use it however they want. It's like a tax that they're collecting. And furthermore, the people who are setting those are elected by the citizens of that city and accountable to them. So if the citizens don't like what their elected leaders are doing, they can not elect them and elect somebody else to set a better franchise fee. So I feel like it's up to the cities to set it, use it however they desire. I'm not sure, you know, we do have the responsibility for looking at them. And so I think if there's any red flags that come up in that regard, I think there was one that came up at one point with XL when they were trying to figure out how to the city of Fargo was trying to figure out how to underground some of the stuff. And there was one mechanism that was they brought forward that I felt was sort of like hidden from the voters. And I didn't support that because I didn't feel like they were being transparent with, and I can't remember what it was, but I felt like the city wasn't being real transparent with the voters on how this was being presented. And so that one, I think we expressed some concerns, but generally I feel like it's up to the cities to set their policy on franchise fee and implement it and be accountable to their citizens.
Which is maybe an added comment as a recent conversation we had, it seems like they're shifting where the fees they collect annually into an infrastructure fund. Mm-hmm. That would be maybe more appropriate for some of the discussion we've been having with the alleys, for example.
Sure. But they're doing that in full public view. They're not, kind of sneaking it in. There was something that wasn't transparent about one of the proposals.
I feel like at one point there was a discussion about a rider for just Fargo or something to that effect, where it would only apply to Fargo residents, but it wasn't quite a franchise fee. I vaguely recall what you're talking about. And
yeah. If I may, we called it the city requested facility surcharge. And it's yes, when cities desire to have us underground or construct something sort of above and beyond our standard, then we would recover those costs through this city requested franchise fee. It's in place in several cities in our Minnesota jurisdiction. And I think we ended up withdrawing that request in North Dakota. But that was the context of that tariff.
Yeah, I mean, this was a 5-year discussion, right? This whole alley, and we've, I think, come to a conclusion that the city of Fargo has made a commitment to be a partner in that, and secondary costs, like we had shared here weeks ago, which was kind of the holdup on this whole ecosystem around alley reconstruction. So I think we're at a place now where future development can happen without having ongoing discussions who's going to pay.
Yeah, so. And that's separate from this.
Yep.
Okay, is there any other questions? Advocacy staff, what are your thoughts?
I'm just advisory staff on this one.
I mean advisory, sorry.
Advocacy position. I don't have any concerns with this. I did draft a memo to the commission back in March, just kind of covering what the individual changes to the tariff that are being requested are. I don't see any concerns with those. I think it was good discussion today to kind of review what-ifs mm-hmm. of this that I think we still have some question marks on, but for the proposed tariff changes, I see no reason to reject it.
Okay. I guess what? I just had one real quick. You mentioned Amazon, and it sounds like they're building without this being in place. Are they expected to, if it is passed, are they expected to use enough power to trigger it?
No. The Amazon facility that is in north of the airport is in Cass County Electric's service territory. But the whole, people hear all the investments that Amazon's making, and there was discussion, well, maybe we can get a data center here too, as well as a distribution mm-hmm. center.
Sure. So. Okay, thank you.
Did you have something else, Ryan?
Does this need to go into effect at a certain time? What's the timing on the franchise fee? Or the franchise agreement with each of these cities?
The City of Grand Forks amended in February of 2021, and City of Fargo was in October of last year, I believe, October, when they approved the franchise agreement. And so I suppose...
Oh, but nobody qualifies.
Right. In our case, we have nobody that qualifies.
Okay, so... No, I don't have any...
So we should be able to just add it to our next meeting.
Yeah, that would be, if there's no objection, I would plan to have an order prepared for the next meeting.
Okay.
No objection.
All right, that's good then. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached? That would be the recording today. Any objection from your standpoint, Tony?
No objection.
All right, then that's what we'll do. Nobody else has any more comments? Then, Sina, this informal hearing is closed. Thank you.